Welcome to The Cosmic Calling, a podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs and creative souls on a mission to align their life and career with the cosmos. I'm Natalie Wallstein, career astrologer at Soulshine Astrology, and I hope you're ready to unlock your cosmic calling. In this episode, I'm chatting with Julia Starr, a life and wellness coach at Starr Health Co. and the creator of Rise the Membership, where she supports women in their 20s and future female CEOs to prioritize themselves, discover their strengths, and lead with conviction. Today, Julia and I are talking about reducing the feeling of stress that, unfortunately, so many of us experience as a result of our busy everyday lives juggling so many different things at once, and how we can actually change our stress response to live more balanced and calm lives, both on and off the clock. I don't know about you guys, but I need to hear this episode as much as I'm sure many of you do. So let's get this conversation started. Hi, Julia. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Natalie. Happy to be here.
Julia and I became friends when we both held sessions out of the same space in Minneapolis, Tall Reads Healing Arts, until she went back to school to graduate from Harvard Graduate School of Education to further her membership program for women called RISE. So could you tell us a little bit more about that? I feel like you could probably explain RISE better than I can.
Yeah, totally. So Rise the Membership is an online mentorship and education platform for women in early career. And what we do is teach women everything that they didn't teach us in college that we actually need to know to be successful, because there's so much that happens when you enter your professional life that you may or may not be prepared for. And there's so much that we can learn from people who've gone before us. So mentorship is a really crucial part of our program. And then we also publish really cool online courses on negotiations and public speaking and embracing your natural skills and traits and all sorts of good stuff that's all targeted at women in their 20s.
So cool. So how did this idea for RISE develop?
Yeah, it really came first from my own experience. I worked in management consulting for several years. It's a very male-dominated space, and I experienced firsthand how much of a struggle it can be to find female role models and mentors in offices and industries that don't have very many women in senior leadership. And that did affect how I saw my future kind of trajectory in that industry. And then I pivoted a strong 180-degree pivot into life and wellness coaching, and ended up with a lot of women coming to me in my private practice who were having very similar experiences to what I had when I was working, where they were feeling really defeated. And these are really high potential, amazing women. And I wanted to really figure out what is happening in early career that is leading some of the brightest women I've ever met to feel like they need to take a step back from their career. And I would love for RISE to help them instead take a step forward into whatever direction it is that is really going to serve them.
I love that so much. What has the process been like for putting this all together?
Overall, it's been a really wonderful kind of, I explain it as a birthing process, which I've never given birth physically, but it does feel like, not yet at least, it does feel like what I would imagine birth would feel like, where you're so excited for this kind of like seed that you've planted and you're nourishing it, but then there's also like aches and pains along the way, where sometimes you can't plan for what's going to happen, so you really have to let go. You have to do all your planning, do all the hard work, but then also let go and see, in this case, you know, like, how are our members responding to our content? How are our mentors engaging with our members? And then kind of react as we go. And at the end of the day, it's not really me or mine. It's like this thing that I've created, which is really cool. And when I think about it that way, it actually makes the creative process that much more fun. Kind of exciting to like see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, it belongs to each and every one of the members. And it sounds like their experience of it shapes it, and their needs and desires and wants form it.
Yes, entirely. Yep.
So awesome. So if you had to kind of drill it down, what would you say your greater mission or calling is?
Yeah, for me, I really feel strongly about helping women see what their potential really is and to come to know themselves and all of their abilities and strengths in their actuality. I think there's a lot of diminishing that goes on in the world at large of women, like God-given, if that word God, just use any other word, just natural-given talents and strengths, I think are diminished in a lot of spaces. And so I think my role on this planet is to help women step into that strength and power and find ways to use it that feels really right and good for them. So that's my purpose.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I feel like that's such a good way to say it. I feel like that is kind of what I do too, but I don't realize it because that's actually our normal natural essence to be amazing and shining and bright and smart. But it's something about the world and our experiences and this like competitive atmosphere in our society that makes you feel like you're never enough. So it's really wonderful what you're doing.
Yeah, totally.
So what would you say is your favorite thing about the work you do?
I really think my favorite thing is getting to create something in the world. It's not necessarily a painting or like a composition on the piano, but it is still something that wasn't there before I and my team came along to build it. And so every day we're trying new things, we're introducing new courses and new programs. And that's so exciting to like create something in the world that wasn't there before. I think that's probably from like my internal, like what gives me the most joy. That's probably the thing that I love the most.
Yeah. Are you reading your astrology chart right now? Because that's exactly what it says.
I'm not. But good to know I'm on the right track.
Yes. Before we dive in and really talk more about this idea of stress reduction, I do want to take a look at your astrology chart. And I know we've had a reading together before, so none of this will be a surprise to you at all.
Yes, although it was a while ago, so I'm very excited to hear what it says again.
Yes, a refresher.
Yes.
Cool. So you are a Scorpio with your sun in the fifth house of fun and creativity, which is an awesome combination because Scorpio tends to be one of the more serious signs of the zodiac. Not that you're not, but this essentially means that you express yourself the best when you are creating the things you personally wish existed in the world in order to help bring about a transformation for others. And I would say that's exactly what you're doing with Rise, as well as even your own life and wellness coaching.
I agree.
And then your moon is also in the fifth house of fun and creativity, but it's in Sagittarius. So you feel the most fulfilled when you are able to constantly learn new things and have new experiences, which makes sense as to why you decided to go back to school and continue learning and bring back what you have been learning to create the things you wish existed in the world again.
Yeah, I love that.
And then your rising sign is in Cancer and your career line is in Aries. So your job is essentially to nurture, protect, and care for others so they feel safe, but also to fire them up to take action toward their passions, which is so lovely. It's cool too because Cancer, I often see like Cancer rising or people who have Cancer in their chart, they tend to want to help the underdog or someone like a group of people who don't have as much of a voice or don't have as much of a say in how things are run, even if they're greatly affected by it. So that's also what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. It feels very like accurate to the way I feel about the work is that I'm doing.
Yeah, it's so cool too, because I don't know if you had Rise going when we had your reading before or if you were just kind of starting it at the time, but you're really growing into it and deepening into it more and more.
Yeah, I think I started it after we connected.
So cool. Love it. I think it also makes a lot of sense to point out that you have five planets or asteroids, one of them is an asteroid, in your sixth house of daily work and wellness. Most of them are in Capricorn, no less. And this is why I feel like you're such a great person to talk with us about stress reduction, because it is clearly important to you to be able to create a system, a structure, or some type of program that allows us or people to bring more efficiency, ease, and flow into their daily lives. So when you're working with the people you coach or in your membership, do you notice a lot of these women experiencing a lot of stress?
I do, yeah. Pretty much everyone I've worked with has been under, and I guess the other piece of context is that I do coach women also one-on-one. So along with building RISE, I also work with people as individuals, and in that practice, everyone that I've worked with has been experiencing a significant amount of stress in their day-to-day lives, and often are kind of at, like, they're carrying so much, which I think a lot of us are, that they feel they're kind of on the edge, you know, like at any moment it could be too much, but they have found ways to cope with it well enough that they're maintaining kind of their outward expressions and their work. But when you really take a second to pause and kind of look under the hood, so to speak, I would say every one of my clients has been carrying a lot of stress with them.
Yes, I think a lot of us could just look around and think of all the people in our lives who are stressed, including probably us too. What do you find that people are stressed about, or what kinds of things do you think are causing that stress?
Yeah, so it's interesting because, and this is getting maybe a little bit ahead of ourselves, but stress and kind of the stress response historically was in reaction to a physical threat. And it literally was to help us get away from, you know, being eaten by a tiger or something like that. And that's not what people are stressed by these days. Most of us have jobs where we're sitting in very safe physical environments and are relatively well protected, so to speak. Not all of us, but most of us. And so the stress is actually coming from inside of ourselves, and it's coming from stories or beliefs that we're telling ourselves. And a lot of times it's around, especially the people that I speak with, it's around achievement and living up to some type of expectation that they're putting on themselves, whether it's something that they've built up for themselves or whether it's something that, you know, somebody else in their life has projected onto them, and they feel really strongly about living up to that and not disappointing anybody, whether it's themselves or somebody else. And usually it's kind of wrapped up between those two things. But a lot of times it's like belief systems that stress us out, and usually kind of like some false, if this happens, then this will happen kind of logic.
Yeah, that's so true. My number one stressor is usually my own expectations. And I'm going to go ahead and blame Jupiter here because Jupiter, which is a really great planet, but it's pinging off of my sun and moon on my chart. So I tend to take on or schedule way more than I can actually handle because it sounds really fun and exciting. But then my five planets in Capricorn get pissed because that aspect of my personality then needs to somehow find a way to get it all done perfectly, which is a huge joke. And I have a feeling you can relate a little bit too because you have a lot of planets in Capricorn.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. It's been work for me to like take things off my plate, and I'm getting better. I have actually gotten better. Not perfect at all, but I've learned. So there's hope. We can learn. We can change our behaviors to a certain degree. So that's good news.
Yeah, it's definitely not my natural inclination to be like, oh no, don't schedule too much. Give yourself white space. I have to go back and like extract it later. So tell me more about this stress response. What are some things that can happen if we ignore it, if we don't kind of get it under control?
Well, the very basic thing that I think, you know, is interesting for everyone to know is that we essentially have two sides of our nervous system. We have the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. And the sympathetic is the stress response. So that's fight or flight. That's the stress response that we're in for most of our days. And then the parasympathetic is what is kind of commonly known as the relaxation response, which is something that we usually experience maybe for 3 minutes of our waking day right before we actually fall asleep. And for some people who are experiencing restlessness at night, definitely stress can keep you from falling asleep. So you might not even get that tiny experience of parasympathetic nervous system. And so what causes a stress are, you know, physical stresses, like I said before, just kind of physical threats, but then also mental thought patterns. And when we are having that stress response, there are these hormones that are released in our body, primarily adrenaline and cortisol. And along with that, we have increased blood pressure, increased inflammation, and just all of our like kind of internal processes in terms of our digestion, our detoxification are halted while our body is putting all of its attention on defending ourselves from something outside of us. Because like I said before, our stress response really is tied to feeling like we're under physical threat. So if we stay in this stress response place for all of our days and essentially all of our weeks, we're essentially barraging our body with these stress hormones of cortisol and adrenaline, and we're not giving our bodies the chance to do all of our beautiful natural processes of, you know, digesting our food, extracting the nutrients, processing out the toxins. And with chronic stress, so chronic stress is when you do experience stress on a regular basis, and it almost becomes numb. You're kind of numb to it. You don't feel like you're under so much stress. It's not until you relax that you realize, oh my gosh, I've been under so much stress. I don't know if you've ever experienced that feeling.
Yes, every day.
Every day, yes. Where you're like, oh, like I thought I was okay, but now that I'm relaxing, I'm realizing that I was definitely not okay.
Yeah, I needed to relax much sooner.
Yeah, so if you are experiencing chronic stress, some of the things that happen are you can experience sleeplessness at night because your digestion isn't working as much. You can put on weight. You can sometimes some of this inflammation related, some of those symptoms can develop into chronic diseases or kind of like aches and pains in the joints, can lead to headaches. Definitely anything happening kind of in our emotional body then gets internalized into our physical body and eventually becomes a symptom of some kind. And it's super important. I don't know if you have the visual of the yin and the yang, but it's kind of like the equal balance. We really should have a yin and a yang of our nervous system, like equal parts parasympathetic to sympathetic. And right now, for most people in the world, we are way overbalanced and sympathetic. So it's high time that all of us learn and our society in general learns how to prioritize para time, that white space that you so aptly described. I love that phrase.
Yes, it's hard because in order to change society, we do have to start with ourselves. And it's true that the world and society today is really pressuresome when it comes to achieving or competing or simply trying to do it all in your life and work. So what are some tips or advice or things that we can do to work on reducing stress or, as you say, reduce our stress response?
Yeah, so there are two things, two kind of like main categories that I'll share, two things that we can actually, or anybody who's listening can actually try. The only thing that like we as humans broadly know that can actually shift our state, our nervous system state from sympathetic to parasympathetic is the breath. And it's actually very simple. It's surprisingly simple, but our exhale is linked to our parasympathetic nervous system. Our inhale is linked to our sympathetic nervous system. So one really, really easy thing that we can do is lengthen our exhales. It sounds so simple, people are probably going to write it off, but I just ask you to try this at home. And you can literally count to two or three when you inhale, and then just count to anywhere between, you know, 5 to 10 when you exhale. So your exhale is actually twice as long as your inhale. And just feel into your body what's happening as you do that. Because we know that as you lengthen your exhale, you are actually cueing your nervous system to go into the parasympathetic mode. So that's one really easy thing that we can do.
Yeah, when I do that, I feel like there's endless time and everything's fine.
Yes, and there is endless time and everything is fine. Yeah, so that's one. And it's kind of the same thing like when you sigh or at the end of a long day you sigh, or you're in a yoga class and your teacher's kind of cueing you to lengthen your breath. So people know this and our bodies know this, but being able to bring it more into our day-to-day life, like, oh, I'm sitting in a corporate boardroom, like, let me just subtly lengthen my exhale. Like, it's being able to do it outside of the yoga class or outside of the 5-minute morning meditation that's really going to make the biggest difference. Like, you should use those skills throughout your entire life. But breathing is physical, kind of something that we can manage. That's part of our physical body. But then the mental side, just because you asked about, you know, where does most of the stress come from? It's a lot of times our beliefs or our thought patterns. And what I like to ask people to do is to right size, quote unquote, the consequences. And what this means is just taking a moment, if you're feeling a bunch of stress about a project or about a relationship or about any decision in your life, is to really think through, like, what is the consequence of this action, this thing that I'm so stressed about? So if someone's feeling overwhelmingly stressed about a meeting that they're preparing for, and you ask them to think through, okay, what really is like the consequence of you going in there and not having the answer to every single question that's put your way? They might get to an answer of, or a reflection of, oh, you know, if I don't have the answer to a question, I could just say, hey, could I send you an email after the meeting, follow up with you on that? And that might change their whole feeling about this meeting that they could have been super stressed and worked up about. So just going through that thought process of like right sizing the consequence of what you're worried about happening. And that might just help you mentally shift kind of how you're looking at a situation.
Yeah, that's so true. Because especially when you run your own business too, a lot of the expectations and deadlines are ones you put on yourself. Like for me, they're all self-imposed that I have to have, you know, a podcast episode out every Friday, or, you know, I'm supposed to reply to an email immediately or whatever it is. And I've been slowly pushing the boundaries on those things. And I'm noticing like I'm not dying. So it's pretty great.
Right. Like, will the world end? Like sometimes when you really get down to it, when we say, well, what do we think is going to happen? Sometimes we think like the world will end. Nobody will like me. Like my boyfriend will break up with me. My parents will disown me. Like odds are good that none of those things are in anywhere near to what actually would happen if you didn't do the thing you're so stressed about.
Yeah. Or you're going to get fired, or no one's ever going to want to buy anything from you again or something like that.
Right. And even if you were to get fired, it's like, okay, you could probably go find another job. I mean, that's a bit extreme, but I think there are some things that lead to kind of the end of the world conclusion that are, there are very few things that are actually going to like change our lives as drastically as we build them up to.
Yeah, it's also kind of like the death card in the tarot. It's like, actually, it's a new beginning. Maybe it's a good thing if everything falls apart because you weren't able to carry it for a reason and probably wasn't meant for you.
So wise. That was a beautiful reflection. I don't do tarot very often, but maybe I need to incorporate it into my practice if my clients would be open to it.
Yes. And it's funny too, because I think about the times my computer has crashed. Like one time I spilled tea across my keyboard, and it was during what, I mean, I always say it's the most stressful week ever. That's very common, but I mean, that one for some reason was like the most stressful week ever. And I didn't have a computer. And so there was nothing I could do. And I just had to email all my clients from my phone and just say, I do not have a computer because I spilled tea on it. And this has happened more than once, not with tea, but just my computer crashing in the middle of all the stuff that was going on. And it's so funny how when I realize there's nothing I can do about it, I feel so good. It's like I am forced to chill and there isn't any way I could do any work. So it's like kind of helping me reformulate or reprogram my mind to think like, wow, none of that stuff was so urgent that it really required me to give up my serenity or my sanity over.
Yeah, it's amazing when you get those moments of insight where you are able to really see that stark contrast of, I was so stressed about this, now it's not happening and I'm totally fine. And the other thing that made me think of just real quick is like airplane mode on your cell phone is honestly like a happy pill for me. I can just turn my phone on airplane mode. I'm not even expecting an email and I turn it on airplane mode and somehow I just feel relieved. Like whoever hypothetically was going to email me that I would need to respond to now, even if they wanted to, I wouldn't see it. And it just makes me feel better. So that's like a small thing you can do, or turn off your computer at the end of the day. So it's not kind of lingering in your subconscious of like, oh, I could open my computer again. Just turn it off and you'll feel better.
Yeah. Another thing I recently started doing related to email stress, because that tends to be a big one for me, is I set up something called Boomerang on my Gmail inbox, and you could tell them to pause your email. So I have it on a schedule where my emails don't start coming in until 10 a.m., which means I get a whole hour of work to work on my most important tasks before my emails start coming in.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, any way you can cut out these constant distractions. Because, I mean, I could probably ask everyone who's listening to this, like, if you were to be without your phone for a day. I know some people kind of get anxiety without having it, but I think most people still just feel a huge wave of relief to think about not having your phone or not having your laptop with you for a day. So even just having that realization can help you understand how putting it away can be doing yourself the biggest favor, and how much they add stress to our lives that wouldn't be there if we didn't have this constant source of like the pings and the notifications and kind of the stories that go along with those of like, is every single one of these messages an emergency or bad news or something like that? It's just every single ping is an opportunity for the stress response to be like, woo, I'm going to run away with you now. You're not going to have any chance to focus or chill.
Yeah, let me just solve everyone else's problems and get distracted from my own.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or like whatever work you're doing doesn't have this ability to ping you in the same way that a random email from your teammate does. Which is totally not fair because your work is way more important, you know, than somebody asking for, hey, do you have this file, in terms of your ability to actually get real work done and actually create the things that you came here to create. So finding ways to like give yourself that respect almost is like, I'm not going to let these little tiny pings steal my time.
Yep. I should have my book ping me. Be like, write your book. No, really, write your book. Hey, Natalie, are you writing your book?
Yes.
But then that sounds stressful.
Can you send me 10 pages?
Yeah, exactly. So something that's kind of closely related to stress is anxiety. What would you say is the difference between stress and anxiety?
That's a good question. And oftentimes stress and anxiety is just like one word that comes out of people's mouths and in articles. And they're so closely related, like stress can cause anxiety and anxiety can cause stress. But how I like to differentiate them is that anxiety is typically a persistent worry. So anxiety really is rooted in like a repetitive thought pattern. And stress, in contrast, is the result of some sort of stimulus. Like stress can also come from a thought, but it's usually not like the repetitive thought pattern. It's, oh, I got a ping from my email and now I'm thinking, oh, if I don't respond to that, my boss is going to get mad at me. That's stress. But if I am sitting here, you know, worrying about my boyfriend who's in a plane over the Atlantic, like is the plane going down? I would say that's anxiety. It's like more of a consistent thought pattern.
Yeah, kind of like what if things happen?
Yeah, and like ruminations.
Whereas stress is like, I need to do something about this.
Right. Yeah. And they are, I think people use the words interchangeably these days. So somebody might be talking about anxiety and they're just using it. They're just saying, oh, I'm so stressed. Or they might vice versa. I'm a really anxious person, but they might just be under a lot of stress and they feel like they're anxious, but there's just a lot of stress and triggers in their life. So somebody out in the world might use the words interchangeably in a way that isn't quote unquote accurate to their original definition. But then there's also the topic of social anxiety, which I do have a lot of people who I work with might experience social anxiety. I personally experience social anxiety, and I've gotten a little bit better with it in the last few years. But for those of you who don't experience social anxiety, it's essentially when you have some sort of like dread around being in a social environment, and the thought of going out to socialize actually sounds terrible and you would much prefer to be by yourself. And there could be a lot of anxiety kind of in the lead up to an event or going to an event or walking into a full room could actually cause a lot of anxiety and could cause some of those like physical symptoms of sweating or stuttering, forgetting your words, that kind of thing. I've experienced all of those things.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. And I actually, there was one day a few years ago when I was talking to a friend about this and she's like, oh, I've never experienced that. And that was the moment where I realized it was actually, you know, certain people experience social anxiety more than others. I had just assumed that everybody felt this way. So first of all, it's kind of like comforting to know, like, no, it's an actual thing. For me, that made me feel somehow better about it. Like I could like work on it. Like there was this thing that I kind of like uniquely had and I could work on it and there were tools for it. But I mean, I just wanted to mention that because I think it's something that a lot of people experience and that falls more into the category of anxiety. And there are things that you can do to work on countering social anxiety. Would it be helpful for me to share a few of them?
Sure, that'd be great.
So the first thing is doing that right size of the consequences exercise again. So like going through what is the worst that could happen? You know, I walk into this room.
Everyone will hate me. They're all going to make fun of me.
Right. Yeah. Like people are going to think I'm a fraud. People aren't going to, I don't know, listen to what I have to say. I'm going to end up sitting in the corner by myself. Those are all, yeah, some of those worst case thoughts, so to speak. So identifying what are your worst case thoughts and then seeing that, okay, probably unlikely that everyone's going to hate me. And like if I walk up to this person and say hi to them, what are the odds that they're going to turn around and walk directly away from me? So just going through like right sizing the consequences of what it is that you're actually scared about. And then thinking about what are some coping mechanisms that you can use in that environment and actually plan for certain actions. Like, okay, when I get there, I'm going to go and like get a drink at the bar. And then I'm going to find like one person and go and introduce myself to them. Like break it down into bite-sized things. And especially when you're, for me at least, when I'm first entering an event, it's kind of like, okay, what are the steps? I'm going to drive there. I'm going to walk into the building. I'm going to walk into the room. I'm going to find one person to talk to. Like, and then it feels a lot easier for me to actually go through the action. And then the other thing that's a little bit more like out there, but I love mantras, and mantras are really helpful for changing your headspace and can kind of cue you into a parasympathetic response. So if you can find a mantra that you can repeat to yourself before an event or a social engagement or really anything like a presentation, it can be really helpful. Some of my favorites are, one, I'm happy to be here, because that just feels so opposite to what I'm usually feeling. So I'm like, oh, am I happy to be here? Like it kind of like jolts me into like, oh, maybe I could be happy to be here. And then the other one that I sometimes say to myself is breathe and smile, like breathe and smile, breathe and smile. And it's kind of like, oh yeah, I can do that. Like I can breathe, I can smile, like I can do those things. So those are some suggestions.
Yes, these are also great. And yeah, like you said, they do seem simple, but you forget. It's kind of like the flight or fight. You shut down and then you don't realize you have tools. If you get stressed, whether it's because you have a ton of work to do or you're in a situation that feels anxiety producing, it's just nice to know that there's really simple things that you can do. And it's so great that they're simple because you can take them with you wherever you are.
Right. And they're free. Like they don't cost a ton of money. They're literally just inside of you. And I guess the other thing that can be helpful is to like say it out loud to somebody. So if you have a friend that you can text, or if you have a person that you live with or a colleague, but to actually voice your anxieties can right size them kind of naturally. Because a lot of times in our head, it's almost like the little tiny ant that like displays a huge shadow. Like the shadow is the thing that we're perceiving, when in reality, it's this little ant. And sometimes saying it out loud forces us to see it more objectively. So that's another thing that can be really helpful.
Yeah, so true. Or even just to write it down. And sometimes I like bullet journal, like, what do I do about this? It just helps me come up with solutions, whereas in my brain, it might just loop around.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is the only possible way that it can be. And if it's not this way, again, the world is going to end. And it's not to diminish the experience of stress. Like, stress is intense and it can be really debilitating. But I think that's why it's so important to even like have a list in the drawer, like plan ahead for the stress to come, and like put a little bullet point thing on your desk or put it in your phone or something. So when you're in that moment, all you have to do is like look and read the thing, because sometimes stress can really just take over and you do feel like it's the end of the world. And we can like laugh about it now, but like when you're in that moment, it can be really intense, and you need to just slowly over time, you'll get better at being like, I have tools, like what is going to work for me when I'm in that really intense moment.
Thank you so much, Julia. I love, love, love connecting with you. You are such an inspiring role model, and I can't wait to see what other amazing things you do with Rise. Before we close out this episode, I'd love to have you share a quote that has really inspired you.
Yes, happy to. So this quote was pasted on the front dashboard of my mom's van growing up. And so I've read it from the time I was very young, and it's just stuck with me, and I love it. And it's a quote by Margaret Mead, and it says, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has."
Yes, I love that so much. We need to be the change we want to see in the world around stress.
Exactly. Yes, 100%. And it starts with ourselves. Like you said earlier, like the society doesn't change. Like we are the society, right? So we have to change ourselves before we can look outside.
Yes. Glorifying self-care and stress-free days.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If you'd like to learn more about Julia and her work at Star Health Co., as well as Rise the membership, if you are a woman in your 20s experiencing isolation, stress, anxiety, or imposter syndrome, check out starhealthco.com, that's star with two R's, or follow her on Instagram at Rise the membership or Star Health Co. You can also download Julia's offer of a social anxiety worksheet by signing up as a Stellar supporter at patreon.com/thecosmiccalling. For complete episode show notes and all of the links mentioned throughout this episode, check out soulshineastrology.com/episode58. For more information on astrology readings, reports, and classes to help you unlock your cosmic calling, and to sign up to receive my weekly and monthly forecasts, check out soulshineastrology.com. You can also follow along elsewhere by searching for Soulshine Astrology on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review for The Cosmic Calling wherever you love to listen. And if you screenshot your review and email it to info@soulshineastrology.com, you'll receive a code to get 10% off an astrology reading or report. In our next episode, I'm taking you on my journey through bringing more soulful flow into my life and work throughout this year so that hopefully you will be inspired to do the same.